Good morning, everyone. The Bible reading this morning is from James chapter 1, verses 19 to 27. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. This is the word of the Lord. Reverend Winston will now bring his message.
All right, good morning, church. How are you? If you don't know me, my name's Winston. It's my privilege to be one of the pastors here. And I really want to encourage everyone to have a Bible in front of you, either on your phone, or if you don't have a Bible, if you don't have a phone, there are Bibles out the back. And if I could get the ushers to maybe hand out, but put your hand up if you would like a Bible, because this is such, there's one here. Be great if one of the ushers could just bring a Bible down, because this is such an important passage, such a helpful passage. I did have some slides, and I was notified that the slides didn't come through exactly all there, so I decided to scrap the slides. So you have to like have your Bibles open; it would help you. And sorry about the slides; you have to listen more carefully. All right, I'm going to pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we come to your word, help us to be humble, listeners, not to just listen with our ears or even just with our minds even, but to listen with our hearts. Lord, help us not just to understand it, but to believe it and to put it into practice. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, some of you know I've got three brothers, and growing up with three brothers, it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun, I got to admit. We did get up to a lot of fights every now and then as well, but we had a lot of fun, and I have lots of fun memories of playing in the backyard, all kinds of sport, you know, 2-on-2 handball, 2-on-2 cricket, 2-on-2 soccer, 2-on-2 footy, 2-on-2 tennis, the list goes on and on. Every day after school, we would play in the backyard some sport. On weekends, we were playing some sport. And I just have all these memories in scorching heat, just playing endless amounts of sport. And it was really a lot of fun. And we never wanted to stop playing, to be honest. And it seemed that my mum and my grandma always wanted to spoil our fun. You know, don't play near the veggie patch. Or boys, that's enough. It's time to do some homework. Stop playing now. It's, you know, you got to clean your rooms. Do you think we listened? Nope, not at all. We were having too much fun to listen. But there was one thing which would always get us back inside the house. You see, my mum is a great cook. And whenever we heard the words, lunch is ready or dinner's ready, we'd drop whatever we were playing, the ball, racket, cricket bat, whatever it was, and we'll run into the house because we wanted to enjoy what mum had cooked for us. You see, my brothers and I, we had this problem of selective listening. And I want to suggest to all of us this morning that we all probably have this problem to a degree, don't we? We have this problem of selective listening. And it's this idea of listening which the author James is going to talk about this morning. Now, in the opening verses, we were told last week, the author is James, is speaking in this letter to the 12 scattered tribes, right? And he's speaking to a people, the people of God, who are young in their faith, young Christians, new in their faith, and the church is still being established. And they're working out how to live this Christian life in this world. In this world where they don't really belong. They're like exiles in this world, scattered. They're scattered because of persecution. There's persecution from the Jews. There's persecution from the Romans. And there's all these temptations out there. There's this temptation to go back to the Jewish religion. There's this temptation of all these other pagan religions out there. So how do these Christians live faithfully with this persecution and all these temptations? And James tells them, well, last week we heard there will be challenges. There's going to be trials. There'll be persecution. Your faith will be tested. But if you persevere through these trials, your faith will be purified. You'll come out stronger in your faith. And that really is something we all need to think about. How do we live faithfully with perseverance this Christian life in this world where we don't really belong, where there is some persecution, where there is rejection? And today James introduces us to something that is at the very heart of what it is to be someone who lives by faith. Someone who lives by faith is the person who is a true listener of God's word. A true listener of God's word. And if you want to be a true listener of God's word, what does that look like? And James is going to tell us. And there are three lessons which I want us to learn this morning. A true listener is one, a ready listener. Two, a true listener is a receptive listener. And three, a true listener is a responsive listener. So ready, receptive, responsive. So the first point, a true listener is a ready listener. You can see it there, verse 19. Have a look there with me. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Every one of you should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. It says everyone should be quick to listen. Now, that's kind of a strange saying, right? When you think about quick to listen, what does that mean? I've heard of, you know, quick to run, you know, run quickly, or finish eating quickly, walk quickly, do this quickly, but listen quickly? What does that mean? Well, I think James is talking about our posture when it comes to listening. And I say this because he goes on to say, be slow to speak and slow to become angry. It's this posture of readiness, readiness to listen. And I imagine kind of like a soldier standing at attention, quiet, all the soldiers quiet, standing at attention, listening, paying attention to the captain or whoever is giving instructions, listening and focusing what will he say next? What do I need to do next? Right? And obeying that instruction. So it's this readiness to listen, not talking, not distracted, focused, listening out with attentiveness. This is the posture which we ought to have when it comes to listening to God's word. Now, to be clear, what we're meant to be listening to is the word of God, right? So we see in verse 21, it says, get rid of the foreign filth, the evil that's prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you which can save you. That's God's word. It's God's word which can save you. And I think probably, you know, I don't know if you've done this, but I've done this with this passage. I've taken this passage and I've used it as a bit of a proof text as, you know, when I'm teaching my son, see what God's word says, be slow to be angry, or say it to myself, preach it to myself, be slow to be angry, you know. But actually, it's not talking about, you know, when people give you advice, but more specifically, it's when God gives you advice, when God's word comes to you. This is the actual application of being quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to become angry. So let's be clear about that. So instead of being quick to listen and slow to speak, what do we do normally? Let's be honest. I think James really knows the human nature, doesn't he? Because instead of being quick to listen and slow to speak, we do the opposite. I know for myself, I'm such an impulsive guy. And some, you know, my FY leaders will tell you, sometimes I say things and I go, oh, well, I shouldn't have said that. But I'm so impulsive, I'm quick to speak and sometimes slow to listen. We're like that. And what happens when we're angry? Like, we're not listening, are we? That's, we know that. All parents, we know that, don't we? You know, when we're angry, we're not listening. When our kids are angry, they're not listening. Slow to anger, because anger does not help listening. So the posture that we ought to have when it comes to God's word is this posture of readiness. When we read the Bible, are you ready? Are you ready to listen? When you come to church to listen to a sermon, are you ready to listen? Or are you tired? Or maybe are you angry? Angry at God, perhaps? Not so ready to listen? Are you proud? What is your posture like when you come to listen to God's word? And James says, a true listener of God's word is someone who is ready to listen. Now, you might be ready to listen. You've come, you're ready, but are you receptive? Now, you might be thinking, what's the difference? What's the difference in ready and receptive? Yeah, there's an overlap. There's an overlap between readiness and receptiveness. But what I mean about receptive listening, I'm talking about how available is your heart when you hear God's word? How available is your heart? You're ready to listen. You're ready to try to understand it, but your heart is not ready to receive it. How receptive is your heart? How open is your heart to heed what God says, to listen and obey what God says, to follow what God says, to accept it no matter how hard it is? How receptive is your heart? It's the heart that listens to God's word and says this, no matter what it says, this is good for me. I need this word. I need this word to teach me, to correct me, to rebuke me, to instruct me, to set me on the right path. How receptive is your heart? It's not just, you know, turning your ear towards God when you listen, but it's turning your heart towards God. You see, there's a lot of stuff going on in our hearts that can block us from listening to God's word, from receiving God's word. And James talks about it a bit there in verse 21. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word that is planted in you, which can save you. You see, every day we're being bombarded by all these kinds of messages from the world, and there's so much moral filth out there, and there's all this evil out there. It's prevalent, James says. And all of us, in some degree, have this moral filth in us. We have this evil in us. And we're bombarded by more and more of it all around us from the world because it's so prevalent. It's everywhere. And often we don't even know that our hearts are being filled with this stuff. Because some of the stuff is so subtle. It's so attractive. You want this? Yeah, go for that. But is it actually good for you? What does God's word say? You see, our heart is like a cup, right? And a cup can be filled with so much stuff, right? And there's a barrage of information coming at us from, you know, our social media feeds and the things that we watch on Netflix and news and social media, all sorts of places. Your friends tell you things, you watch movies, and it's feeding you all this information. And it's being bombarded. A lot of it is moral filth. And if we're not careful, we start to receive these things into our heart. And we start to believe some of these things. These lies, these false hopes, this immoral filth out there. And our heart becomes numb to God. And the more that we receive the messages of the world, the less and less receptive we are to God's word. So your heart is like a cup. What are we filling it with? So here's the thing I want you to think about. You know, when you open the Bible for yourself and you read it, and I hope you do that, but when you read the Bible for yourself, and when you come to church and you listen to a sermon, you listen to God's word being preached to you, you know, how does your heart feel about it? Even right now, as I'm speaking to you, some of you are really receptive. You want to learn, you want to receive, you want to accept God's word. This is so important for me, but maybe some of you, there's some hardness there. Maybe some anger, maybe some tiredness, maybe some boredom. You're not that receptive. Maybe I'm a boring preacher, I don't know. But I see it every week. You know, I start the sermon and everyone's alert, everyone's ready to listen. But some people are not so receptive because I see like eyes drooping, some people falling asleep. Maybe it's my preaching, but maybe it's your heart, right? How receptive is your heart to God's word? How motivated are you when you hear God's word? How encouraged, challenged, inspired are you? Do you feel blessed when you are taught God's word? This is so good for me, so good for my faith, so good for my soul. I need this. Thank you, God. How receptive is your heart? Or maybe not so much. Why is that? And I want to encourage all of us, if your heart is not that receptive, like try and work out why. Like what's filling your heart and making it less receptive? Like think about that. You know, is it some sort of sin in your life? Is it some sort of addiction? Some sort of grudge that you have against someone? Some sort of anger that you hold against God? Like what's stopping you from receiving God's word deeply into your heart? And James says, get rid of that moral filth. Get rid of it because it's not going to help you listen to God's word. You'll become less and less receptive to God's word the more you hold on to that stuff. And the reverse is true. The more you get rid of that stuff, then the more receptive you can be to God's word. Now, the third thing I want us to learn from this passage is that a true listener is a responsive listener. James says in verse 22, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Do what it says. You see, true listening is responsive. It responds to the word being planted in us. It should respond in action, in transformation, in a mindset change, in living and behaving a different way, having a different purpose in our life. God's word should do something. It's not just puffing up our heads with knowledge so we have a, you know, more knowledge in our heads, but it should change how we live. We should be doing something with it. And James says, if you're only a hearer, well, then really you're deceiving yourself. It's this idea of those who may think, oh, you know, I'm so godly because, you know, I know the Bible. You know, I can even quote you verses. I go to all these Bible studies. I know the Bible well, but then you go away, you do nothing with it. And God says, well, hang on a second. Don't fool yourself there. You know, God's word did nothing for you at that moment, right? You might know a lot, but it could be you've deceived yourself and you think your faith is good, but James is going to say stuff like your faith is dead. We're going to read about more of this later. Your faith is dead. There's no action in your faith. You know, there's nothing more important in our Christian life than to walk with God, to listen to him, and then do what he says. That is the foundational, fundamental action of faith, isn't it? To walk with God, listen to him, and do what he says. That's it. And this is what James is saying. You're a new Christian in this world. He's saying to the people back then, like, this is the foundation, guys. Listen to God and do what he says. How are you going with that? Are you listening to God? Are you doing what he says? You know, this is a huge, huge theme in the book of James, as I said. You'll see it all the way through, you know, the book of James. You know, what is true faith like? What is it meant to look like? It's practical. It's active. It's alive, right? And so James says, if you're only hearing and you're not doing anything with it, then you're fooling yourself. And it's like someone who's who looks at the mirror, right? There's this analogy in the passage there. Someone who looks in the mirror. And they look in the mirror and immediately they forget what they look like and they walk away and they've forgotten, you know, they didn't even remember why they looked in the mirror, right? And it's like that, you know, the person who listens and thinks, oh, I'm good, I'm right, and does nothing with it, that's that person. Looks in the mirror and goes, yep, walks away, nothing. What do you mean to do when you look in the mirror? Why do you look in the mirror? Well, it's to check if everything's all right, isn't it, right? You know, is there a pimple there? What's that? Is that, do I need to pop that, right? Fix my bed hair or do my makeup or, I don't do makeup, but you look in the mirror for a purpose, right? And we look at God's word, we listen to God's word for a purpose. And the purpose is not just to puff up your head with knowledge. The purpose is transformation. For you, for me, for all of us, to become more like Jesus. To live God's word out in action in this world. You know, a pastor once shared with me an interesting statistic. He said, now, after you go home from church, by the time you get home, if you haven't thought about the sermon, then by the time you get home, you've forgotten 50% of it already. So some of you are going to go home, and you would have, like, 50% of what Wino said, gone, right? And if that night you didn't think about it, and you didn't think, oh, how am I going to apply God's word that I learned today? Well, the next morning, this pastor says, well, the next morning, you've only got about 25. You've got about 0.25% of it, a quarter of it left. 25% max. And then come Wednesday, if you didn't think about the sermon, you didn't plan to apply it in any way, come Wednesday, you didn't do anything with it, then you've got about 10% left. Then come the following Sunday, you've got about none left, right? That's the reality. And James says, you know, you're fooling yourself. And all, lots of us, we fool ourselves. We come to church, we listen. We hear. But then we do nothing. And James says, don't fool yourself. Why did you come in the first place? You came to listen. To listen well. To respond. To be transformed, right? So if you call yourself a Christian, then God's word should transform us. We should be doers of God's word, not just hearers, but doers as well. So as we hear the word of God, we should take it in, soak it deep in our hearts, think about what it means for my life, what it's telling me I should do, what I should change, how I should live, and then put that into action. And that's what it means when he says in verse 25, you know, the person who looks intently on the word and does this, looks at it, thinks about it, and applies it, that person is blessed. That person blessed. The person who does that will be blessed in what they do, James says. And I've got to say, like, you know, I can testify to that experience. You know, there's been times when, you know, as a Christian, God's told me, like, to do something very specific, to put some sin to death, or to go and do something. And I remember those moments, and some of those moments are really hard because I was thinking, oh, I don't want to do that. I know you're calling me to do this, but I don't want to do this. You know, it's going to cost me so much. I'm going to have to sacrifice in order to do that for you, God. But I can tell you, every time that I've taken that step, I've listened and I obeyed and I put God's word into practice, I have been blessed, so blessed. My faith has been strengthened. My purpose has been sharpened. I know why I'm living so much better. And my relationship with God is so much more connected and joyful because I put God's word into practice. And I've got to admit, and I confess this before you, that the opposite has been true as well. The times when God has told me to do something and I said no to God, they're the times when I was really lost, when my faith was crumbling, when I was confused, and I was lacking joy in my relationship with God. And that's the reality. So I really encourage us, like, receive God's word, but also put it into action. Practice it. Yes, it's a blessing to hear God's word. Yes, it's a blessing to read it and to hear it, right? And to know it better. All that's a blessing, but the true blessing comes when we actually put it into practice, right? So a true listener is someone who's ready, receptive, and responsive. You know, I was thinking of an analogy to kind of, you know, bring this all together. It's a kind of a weird analogy. I don't know if it's going to work, but let me put it out there for you. Basically, what James is saying is, don't be a sponge when it comes to this. Don't be a sponge. Be a trampoline. All right, I don't know if this is going to make sense. Don't be a sponge, be a trampoline. Now, this is what I mean. We tend to think that a good listener is like a sponge, you know, really able to absorb more information, more knowledge, as much knowledge as possible. What James is saying is that a good listener is not just a sponge. A good listener is a trampoline. You know, we're meant to absorb God's word, and it's meant to bounce into action, right? That's what I mean by trampoline. Did that work? I don't know. Sorry, it's a bit corny maybe. But that's what I mean. You know, the danger is we can be a sponge and we learn so much. We come to church, we learn so much. Our knowledge grows. We get so puffed up and our knowledge goes like that. But our faith just like, right? That's what can happen. That's a sponge, right? Puffed up with knowledge and actually, that's a danger. We can be proud. We can say, oh, I know this. I can quote this. I can, you know, tell you the Greek meaning of this and that. And people think, oh, you're so godly. But if you haven't put it into action, it actually means nothing, right? So don't be a sponge. Be a trampoline. And it's sad because, you know, there's a few of my friends over the years that I've grew up with in church, become quite nominal, and eventually they fell away from God. And they just have no faith in God, and I feel really sad about it. But there's a pattern that I noticed in all of these friends of mine. And it has to do with listening to God's word. That's the crux of it. That's at the very heart of it. Yeah, they got distracted by this, you know. Their job consumed them. They got pursued these other things. They chased after money and all. But at the heart of it, it was they just listening to God's word. That's what it was. You know, I told them, I just encouraged them, I challenged them, I urged them, like, just pay attention to this part of God's word. Like, you're just drifting away from God. But they wouldn't listen. And slowly but surely, they just got consumed by their other pursuits, the other messages of the world, captivated their heart and captured them and took them away. And they have no more faith in God. So sad. So how you stop that is to not be a sponge, but to be a trampoline. Put it into practice. Put God's word into practice. Live it out. Make your faith real. Make your faith real. Look intently on God's word. Put it into practice. You know, I'll let you read the rest of the chapter. But, you know, there's some really hard instructions at the end of that chapter. Looking after orphans and widows, like, you know, those are some hard instructions. You know, how do we respond to the hard things of God? What do we do when God says, do this? It's hard, but do this. How do we respond? Give this up. Sacrifice this for me. Stop doing this. Are you willing to do that? Be a trampoline. Listen, absorb it, and do something with it. Let me pray. God, I thank you for the book of James, for its real practical help to our faith. We pray, God, that you would really help us to search our hearts, to search what is it being filled up with, what is going on in our hearts. And Lord, if there's any hardness, we pray, God, that you would shine a light on it, reveal what's going on there so we can do something with it, God, and show us what we can do, Lord. Please help us. We need your help, God. And then fill us with your word, God, that we may not just know you better, but we may live the life that brings you glory and honor and love, God. In Jesus' name, amen.